The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 5th, 1990 in New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class occurred during the Panihati Festival, and the class was a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Chapter 6, Verse 154 through 193.
After taking dasana feet of Raghava Pandit, Raghunath Das returned to his home feeling greatly obligated to Lord Nityananda Prabhu because of having received his merciful benediction. It is very important how Raghunath Das got the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. It's also very, very significant how he felt greatly obligated to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This is actually the characteristic of a civilized person. It's like in human society, if someone was given some, amongst the pious people, if someone had given some mercy, given some something, then they feel obligated. It's the demons or those who are uncivilized who, in spite of receiving so much mercy, they don't feel any obligation. It's called lack of compassion or mercy. Kripana, miser. Some people, they get mercy, they don't care. They don't take it very seriously. We've seen Srila Prabhupada give out so much mercy, yet there are some who are not at all appreciative. Even after getting Prabhupada's mercy, they have neglected and just don't feel any indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada in any practical sense. So this is symptomatic of a lack of civilization, lack of piety, lack of godliness. It makes it very difficult to preach in the Western countries or modern world because in spite of taking vows, people don't take their vows very serious. Sometimes they take them very lightly. We should understand this is very despicable. Prabhupada, he gave a lecture once, is shameless. So the devotees are shameless. They take vows and they don't follow, they don't care. It's shameless. Or initiation vows, wedding vows, and then they don't, afterward they just drop it, they don't care. For their sense gratification, they can sacrifice anything. Here Raghunath Das, he didn't take any vow, but he is lifelong indebted to Nityananda Prabhu for the mercy he gave him. Eternally indebted. That's actually the system of the Vedic culture, says that if one gets even one syllable from their guru, that one syllable of spiritual instruction, that syllable of spiritual instruction will give one eternally benefit. Therefore, one can never fully repay that with any amount of material service or gifts or reciprocation. It's simply a token that one gives, knowing that one remains always indebted. So that's the actual consciousness of the devotees, to always be feeling obligated to the spiritual master for their mercy. So we see this quality in Raghunath Das. It's another reason why he's glorified. He got the mercy from Lord Nityananda and he justifiably felt obligated, and accordingly he acted to serve Lord Nityananda and his devotees. Sehoyete abhyantare na kore na gaman Bahire Durga Mandape Jaya Koren Soyan. That dayan, he would not go into the interior section of the house. Instead, he would sleep on the Durga Mandap, the place where Mother Durga was worshipped. Srila Prabhupada explained in one class how in the Bengali cultured houses, there was an exterior part of the house and interior part of the house. In fact, in all parts of India, still in the rural place, in many of the city places, it's like the so-called living room, or it's like a reception room for the public. And nobody goes into the interior part of the house. And people sit out there. Even sometimes they have guest rooms outside. And it's totally separated from the inside. And Prabhupada explained that initially, the interior part of the house was where the women and children would stay. And even the husbands, so with a joint family, maybe his father and five sons. All the women would live inside, the inside of the house. The men would live in the exterior part of the house. They only go on the interior side just to see the children or something, or even the children come out. They only sleep on the inside for purpose of procreation. They won't sleep in the same room or something all the time. So that way they would be very regulated, quite easily practice Garbhodhan Samskara. And the wife was respected as very highly and not used just for sense gratification but for procreation. Great respect. So there's an interior, he would not go anywhere even on daytime, he'd go in and out the interior, but he won't even go in the interior section of the house. He just stayed outside. Even at night he didn't sleep even in the exterior part of the house, but he slept in the Durga Mandap. Bengal Durga Mandap means that Krishna is worshipped every day. So there's a Krishna temple, but Durga may not be worshipped every day, but especially these are big landlords. So they had to do so many, like Ambarish also did so many types of worship for different devas. So being a big landlord in Bengali, also had to do various pujas. So especially on the Vijay Dasami. Before that, the Aptil Ekadasi, Navami. In Bengal, they do a special Durga Puja for, I think it's 4 days, which is the... So that time they have a little stage, which is, they build it so that they don't have to make every year, they build like an open stage, like for a drama. That's where they actually put the deity in there. It's called the Durga Mandap. And then they decorate it on the time of, they make a Durga deity out of clay. And they place Mother Durga there and worship her once a year. So the rest of the year it's lying vacant. There's also a pastime where Lord Nityananda, he went to visit the village of Ramchandra Ka, who had offended Haridas Thakur by trying to offering a reward if any prostitute could make him fall down. So that Ramchandra Ka was very offensive to the Vaishnavas. So he told Nityananda they wouldn't let him stay in his guest facility, but said he could stay out. Lord Nityananda went and sat on the Durga Mandap. But Ramchandra Ka thought that the Durga Mandap has been polluted by Nityananda and went there and rubbed cow dung. He's so offensive to the Vaishnavas. Then after that, the Mohammedan people that supervise whether the taxes are being paid, Ramchandra Ka was a much smaller landlord than Mazumdars, but he also had some powers. So they came and found he was cheating in his taxes, and they arrested him and looted his whole village, burned it down, completely destroyed the whole place. And they said that if one offends the Vaishnava, not only the person who offends the Vaishnava suffers, but the whole place, the whole village, the whole family, everyone has to suffer for the offense of the one, because it's such a grave offense that it contaminates everywhere. When there's some offense, of course Vaishnava aparad is very rare, but even in a temple, if somebody breaks in, if one of the Brahmins or priests, one of the servants of the deity or someone in the community breaks the regular principle, they find that they had some illicit sex or something, it would be customary to, or they did some kind of un-Vaishnava activity, and they would bathe the deities with milk, to purify, to beg forgiveness for their offense, and by bathing with milk is one of the ways of counteracting offense. You know, Prabhupada had us bathe the deities with milk on one occasion, I forget the details. And now in Mayapur we bathe the deities every day with panchamrita milk. Taha jagirohe sabarakkagan palaite kore nanana upaya chintan. There, however, the watchman alertly kept guard. Raghunath Das was thinking of various means by which to escape their vigilance. Heno kali gaura deshe sabhaktagan prabhure dekhite nila chole kori lagavan. At that time, all the devotees of Bengal were going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tasubar sange Raghunath jaitina pare prasiddha prakat sanga tibohin dhora pare. Raghunath Das could not accompany them, for they were so famous that he would immediately have been caught. Emato chintite doive ako dine bahire devi mandape kuriyachana shayane dandachari ratri jave ache avashesh jadunandana charja tabe kurila pravesh. Thus Raghunath Das thought deeply about how to escape. And one night while he was sleeping in the Durga Mandap, the priest Jadunandana Acharya entered the house when only 4 dandas remained until the end of the night. Vasudeva Dattir Teha Hoyano Grihito Raghunathe Guru Teha Hoy Purohito. Jadunandana Acharya was the priest and spiritual master of Raghunath Das. Although born in a Brahmin family, he had accepted the mercy of Vasudeva Datta. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that although the atheists who have deviated from the order of Sri Advaita Acharya introduce themselves as followers of Advaita Acharya, they do not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Jadunandana Acharya, one of the most confidential followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the initiated disciple of Advaita Acharya. He was not polluted by sentimental distinctions classifying Vaishnavas according to birth. Therefore, although Vasudeva Datta had not been born in a Brahmana family, Yadunandana Acharya accepted Vasudeva Datta as his spiritual master. It must be that Vasudeva Datta was like a Shiksha Guru, that, since it mentions a Diksha Guru was Advaita Acharya. Purohit is like the family guru who does he's a Brahmin who does all the rites on behalf of his disciples. So sometime maybe for a family or maybe for a yajna, say that someone has a private temple and they want a Brahmin to worship there. So they arrange with the Brahmin to give him some honorarium, some dakshina, and he worships the deities on behalf of the family. And that Brahmin is considered a purohit. I mean, he's acting on behalf of someone else. Or that he's serving the deities, but the deities are not his personal deities. For instance, in Bangladesh, there's a temple that they've offered us. This temple was established 100 years ago or so by one rich Vaishya. And he made a hereditary system of Saivite, that the property put in the name of the deity. And he made the Saivite of the deity, or the trustee who manages the property on behalf of the deity, his descendants. It's called the Saivite. But then, they're being all Vaishya, they're busy doing their business and other things. They have one Brahmin who does the daily worship, and he's considered the Purohit. That's one of the meanings of Purohit. You can say that one. Maybe different applications. But here it says that not only was Yadunandana Acharya the Purohit or the priest, but also he was accepted as Guru by Raghunath Das. The other point And in that time, Brahman, the caste consciousness was very strong, so much so that if someone was someone, Muslim, spit in a glass of water and threw the water on someone, then they were considered converted to Muslim. They were outcast. So it's so easy that people just run up, you know. So that's why today there's about 20% Muslims in India. But that real problem was because the Brahmins, they were saying that once this happened, you were out. You lost your Hinduism. You lost your caste. Forever. That was it. No, they said you could get it back. One of, he was Budhi Mantakan, he approached the Brahmins and asked, how can I get back? He said, you just take some hot ghee. You take ghee and you boil it. You drink 2 kilos. While boiling. He said, but I'll die. Yeah, but next birth you'll take birth as Hindu. So this way so many, you know, they were not prepared to take the ghee treatment. So they remained, then they were like outcasts, so they'd be, okay, I'm Muslim, now what to do? It was the most amazing kind of conversion. So they went to, nothing to do with reality, just because of this caste consciousness. Of course, they went, same person when I approached Lord Chaitanya, how can I get purified? Someone spit on me, I'm an outcast. He said, you chant Hare Krishna 3 times, you'll be alright. So here Vasudeva Datta, although he was not born in a Brahmin family, but because he was a pure Vaishnava, even Yadunandana Acharya, he was obviously a pure devotee. He didn't have all this, any kind of jati buddhi. In the Puranas it states that someone thinks that a Vaishnava has coming from some particular jat, a particular caste, that's actually hellish mentality. Jati buddhi, Vaishnava, jati buddhi nahi. Guru Naramati, if one thinks that Guru as an ordinary human being, if one thinks that deity is to be made out of stone, if one thinks that one's, all these things are, I just said that. These are hellish mentalities. So Vasudeva Datta was very broad-minded Vaishnava. Excuse me. Radhunandana Acharya. Because when he found that Vasudeva Datta was a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee, he didn't care what people would think or what the caste was. He knew Vaishnava is transcendental to all these things. And he took the accepted Vasudeva Datta as his guru. Adaita acharyate ho shishu antaranga acharya agyate mane chaitanya pranadana. Yadunandana Acharya had been officially initiated by Advaita Acharya. Thus he considered Lord Chaitanya his life and soul. Angani asiyate ho javedandaila raghunatha shita vedanda vatakoila. When Yadunandana Acharya entered the house of Raghunath Das and stood in the courtyard, Raghunath Das went there and fell down to offer his obeisances. Tar akshisho tar thakure seva kore seva chariyache tare sarivaro tore. One of Yadunandana Acharya's disciples had been worshipping the deity but had left that service. Yadunandana Acharya wanted Raghunath Das to induce the disciple to take up that service again. Raghunath kohe tare koro sadhan seva jano kore ar nahi ga brahman. Yadunandana Acharya requested Raghunath Das, please induce the brahmana to resume the service, for there is no other brahmana to do it. So, even time of Lord Chaitanya, there were devotees who were booping. Devotees are giving up their responsibility. Putting that guru into hardship. Yadunandana, he had to see that deity was worship. But his disciple, they gave up the worship of the deity. Left the service. So then, it's natural that one of the other god brothers of that fallen disciple, that irresponsible disciple, should go and also preach to that disciple and get him on the right track. So Yadananda Acharya was requesting Raghunath Das to find that devotee and pitched him to take up his devotional service again. Say 9:30, but by 9:30 we have to take grain, otherwise the whole... 9:13. By 9:13. No one's taking grains yet? So right after the class there should be some grains. After saying this, Yadunanda Acharya took Raghunath Das with him and went out. By that time, all the watchmen were deeply asleep because it was the end of the night. Acharya Gora Ihar Purva Dishate Kohite Sunite Duhe Chole Se Pote. East of the house of Raghunath Das was the house of Yadunanda Acharya. Yadunanda Acharya and Raghunath Das talked together as they went toward that house. Arda Pote Raghunath Kohe Guru Chorone Ami Se Vipre Sadi Pataimu Tumastani. Halfway along the path, Raghunath Das submitted at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, I shall go to the home of that Brahman and induce him to return and send him to your home. Tumi suke ghore jaho, more agya hoy, ei chole agya magi korila nishchoy. You may go home without anxiety, following your order I shall persuade the Brahmana. On this plea, after asking permission, he decided to go away. Seva graka kar keho nahi sange, palaite amar bhalo ito prasange. Raghunath Das thought, this is the greatest opportunity to go away because this time there are no servants or watchmen with me. Ato chinti purva moke kodila agaman ulotiya chahe pache nahi kono jan. Thinking in this way, he quickly proceeded toward the east. Sometimes he turned around, looked back, but no one was following him. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Cholara Chintiya Potachari Upapate Chayan Daya. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he left the general path and proceeded with great haste on the one not generally used. Game Game Potachari Jai Bone Bone Kaya Mono Bhakke Chinte Chaitanya Charane. Giving up the general path from village to village, he passed through the jungles, thinking with heart and soul about the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Panchadasa Kroshapat Chali Gelo Akadine Sandhya Kale Rohila Aka Gopira Pyabhatane. Walking about 30 miles in one day. In the evening he took rest in the cow shed of a milkman. It's a long walk. Our Padayatra walks 10 to 15 kilometers in a day, which is about 5 to 10 miles. He walked 30 miles. He's very enthusiastic to get to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By this time he knew how he had to stay. He had east, you see. Here Lord Chaitanya was in the Jagannath Puri, which is southwest of where Adi Saptagram is, Raghunath Das's house. Raghunath Das goes the complete opposite direction, east 30 miles, towards Bangladesh. In other words, he's going a completely different way so they can't figure out where he's going. Diversionary tactic. Upavasi deki gop dukta ani dila se dukta pan kori puriya rohila. When the milkman saw Raghunath Das was fasting, he gave him some milk. Raghunath Das drank the milk and lay down to rest there for the night. Eta tar seva krakak tare na dekiya tar guru bhashe varta puchile na giya. At the house of Raghunath Das, the servant and watchman, not seeing him there, immediately went to inquire about him from his spiritual master, Yadunanda Acharya. Teho kori, agya magi gelani jugor, palailo Raghunath utilo kolaho. Yadunandana Acharya said, he has already asked my permission and returned home. Thus there arose a tumultuous sound as everyone cried, Hare, now Raghunath has gone away! Raghunath has gone away! Tar pita kohe gaure asabha bhaktagan prabhustane nila chole kodila agavan. Raghunath Das's father said, now all the devotees from Bengal have gone to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sei sangi Raghunath gelo palaya dasjan jaho tare anoho doriya. Raghunath Das has fled with them. 10 men should go immediately to catch him and bring him back. Sivanande patri dilo vinaya koriya amar putre tumi deva bahuya bahuriya. Raghunath Das's father wrote a letter to Sivananda Sena asking him with great humility, please return my son. Jakara parjanto gelo se daso jane jakarate pailo gya vaishnavera gane. In Jakara, the 10 men caught up with a group of Vaishnavas going to Nilachal. Patri diya Sivanande varta puchilo Sivananda kohe teho eta nahailo. After delivering the letter, the men inquired from Sivananda Sen about Raghunath Das. But Sivananda Sen replied, he did not come here. Bahuriya se dasa janailo gaur tar mata pita hailo chintito antar. The 10 men returned home, and Raghunath Das's father and mother were filled with anxiety. Eta Raghunath Das pravate utiya purva mukha chari chole dakhina mukha hoya. Raghunath Das, who had been resting at the milkman's house, got up early in the morning. Instead of going to the east, he turned his face south and proceeded. So, yeah? 25, 30? Roughly, I'm just speculating. Huh? How old is he?
How old was Raghunath Das at this time?
He had a young wife. And a wife of him. She's like taking sannyas. He's maybe 30. He's somewhere. He's not old. How young, whether 25 or 35, I don't know. How many if he had children or not, I don't know. So. But he was already married because it said he had a wife like an apsara in the previous verse. He was a grihastha for many years and then he wanted to just join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. So he went east for 30 miles, now he's going direct south. But the direct path is going straight south, as he's going like 30 miles off the path. Chatrabhog parvaya chariya swaran kugram diya diya kurilo prayan. He crossed Chatrabhoga. But instead of going on the general path, he proceeded on the path and went from village to village. Chatrabhoga, known now as Chara, Charakari, is in the district of 24 Parganas in West Bengal. It is situated near the celebrated village Jainagara, Majilapur. Formerly the Ganges or some of its branches flowed through this region. Sometimes Chatrabhoga is misunderstood to have been a village on the river Kangsai Nadi in Benapur. We went to see this Chatrabhog. Also Lord Chaitanya went to Chatrabhog. Crossing. That was the main place of crossing the river. From Bengal to Midnapur. You had to cross the Ganges, what now is Midnapur. Which at that time was from the Rup Narayan, was part of Orissa. Actually. There's a river Rup Narayan which has confluence with the Ganges. And from that, it explains how Lord Chaitanya went up to that river. And he was still within the Orissan kingdom of Pratapruddha. Crossing over that, he entered into the Mohammedan kingdom of the Emperor Hussein Shah. Today, Orissa is a little bit further. Apparently, in the wars, they pushed back, they've captured some of the area from the a recent king, but they never got even up to Ramuna. But this time, this was the crossover point, Chaturbhoga. In this Chaturbhoga, even today, there's a lotus footprint of Lord Chaitanya established. He also crossed Chaturbhoga, then there's Chaturbhoga and Chakra Tirtha. Nearby. Chaturbhoga also, there's many temples there of different. The Jayanagara is famous because they make popped rice sweet balls. Jayanagara Moa from date gourd, candied date gourd. They pop rice, not like popcorn, they pop the rice called koi, then they make balls using date gourd. Those, they put that in nice clay pots, and they sell all over Bengal. They're famous. Jayanagara Moa. Yes? This is a famous, very old village, celebrated. So, in other words, he went kind of round about 24 parganas. This way is just by going by the side of the Sundarban where there are tigers. Even today, the famous Indian Tiger Reserve is there in 24 Parganas in the south. Hundreds of tigers. The Royal Bengal Tiger, biggest big cat in the world. 12 feet long, over half a ton weight. That's a maximum pound. 10 to 12 feet, that's well, that's an old granddaddy, but he said you can find it. 7-8 feet is like a common small fry. They're really big. They're bigger than lions. So he went like skirt where they went. Kugram, all kind of little problems. Then he kind of circled around and ended up over by the Ganges, by Jayanagar, Chaturbhoga, crossed over. So then he was out of range for his father. His father couldn't go into the other kingdom. There was no passports in those days. You could go from one place to the next. But, of course, when you cross over from one kingdom to the next, then the king's people, government people, they required some special pass. Otherwise, if they got caught, they'd be apprehended as spies. But ordinary Brahmins, and they could go freely anywhere. They didn't have to worry. Kabu charvana kabu randan kabu dugdapan jave je milete tahe rakhe nijapran. Sometimes he chewed fried grains, sometimes he cooked, and sometimes he drank milk. In this way he kept his life and soul together with whatever was available wherever he went. Baro dine choli gela Sri Purushottam Pate tin dine matra kolila bhojan. He reached Jagannath Puri in 12 days, but he could only eat for 3 days on the way. It's about 500 miles to Jagannath Puri, so that means, or 500 kilometers, which is about 350. It's like he was averaging almost 30 miles a day, every day, walking, running. To go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarupadi saha gosai achina vasiya henokali Raghunatha milila vasiya. When Raghunath Das met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord was sitting with his companions, headed by Sarup Damodar. Anganete dhure rohi korena pranipat mukunda datta kohe ailo Raghunath. Staying at a distant place in the courtyard, he fell down to offer obeisances. Then Mukunda Datta said, "Here is Raghunath. Prabhu kohenai so teho durila charan uti prabhu kripai tade koila lingan." As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these words, he immediately welcomed Raghunath Das. "Come here," he said. Raghunath Das then clasped the lotus feet of the Lord. But the Lord stood up and embraced him out of his causeless mercy. Sarupadi Savabhaktira Charana Bandila Prabhu Kripa Deki Savayalingana Koila. Raghunath Das offered prayers at the lotus feet of all the devotees, headed by Sarup Damodar Goswami. Seeing the special mercy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had bestowed upon Raghunath Das, they embraced him also. Prabhu Kohe Krishna Kripa Bolishta Shava Hoite Tumare Ba Karilo Vishoy Vishta Gartha Hoite. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the mercy of Lord Krishna is stronger than anything else. Therefore the Lord has delivered you from the ditch of materialistic life, which is like a hole into which people pass through. Report. According to the law of karma, everyone is destined to suffer and enjoy according to a certain material standard. But the mercy of Lord Krishna is so powerful that the Lord can change all the reactions of one's past karma, fruitive activities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically drew attention to the mercy of Lord Krishna. That mercy is more powerful than anything else, for it had saved Raghunath Das from the strong bondage of materialistic life, which the Lord compared to a hole where people pass through. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his verdict that those addicted to the materialistic way of life are like worms. They're living in stool but cannot give it up. A griha vrata who has decided to live in a comfortable home, although it is actually miserable, is in a condemned position. Only the mercy of Krishna can save one from such misery. Without Krishna's mercy, one cannot get out of the filthy entanglement of materialistic life. The poor living entity cannot give up his materialistic position on his own. Only when granted the special mercy of Krishna can he give it up. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well that Raghunath Das was already liberated. Nevertheless, he emphasized that Raghunath Das's life of material comfort as a very rich man's son with a very beautiful wife and many servants to attend him was like a ditch of stool. The Lord thus specifically indicated that ordinary men who are very happy with material comforts and family life are in no better position than worms in stool. I don't know, in the West, here in America, maybe many of you don't have experience on worms in stool. Or what an open hole is like with worms in stool. But in Mayapur we had a personal experience. Because initially when we lived in the grass hut for 2 years, our bathroom was by digging a hole in the ground about 10 feet deep and 2.5 feet wide. And then next to that, there was a bathroom built with a slide for the excrement to go down to the hole where it would accumulate. It was not a septic arrangement, it was a natural, what you can call, dark well stool house. So, but sometime we had to inspect that the hole wasn't over flooding or anything. And you would find that after some time in that well, which had accumulated, filled with stools, that white maggot type lice, I don't like lice, but maggot type worms, white worms, they would be crawling there, and that place would be filled. You wouldn't see any stool, you would just see the worms seething, crawling over one another. And then these worms would be crawling up the side of the thing they want to get out. And they'd crawl up, but it'd be so slippery and moist and dark there. They'd crawl out a little about halfway and boom, they'd fall back down. In other words, the worm on its own, it couldn't crawl out of that hole. They tried to get always to the top, crawling on one worm over the other's body, over the other's, over the other, and get it to the top for a second, but then the whole thing is a swirling, sliming worm pile, and then again it falls down. It said this many compare this stool, worms in the stool have been used many times for explaining how even coming up to political polls sometimes is like that. Someone gets to the top for a little bit. Here I am. I'm the worm at the top! Back down into the pit. Material life from the transcendental point of view even some little comfort, it fits that very well, because so much suffering is there. And one is that standard, even though we're maybe be happy, they get their food is stool, they're living in stool. That means that you can be like, you know, for them it's an ocean of edibles. But from any objective point of view, it's the most hellish existence. It's disgusting. But for a worm, that's their life. They think this is great. But even if some worm decides, I want to get out of this hellish place, he tried to crawl out. He can't get out. There's no way to get out on your own. You want to get out, someone can stick a stick down and you can crawl on it and they can lift you out. Otherwise, on your own, it's hopeless. You're just crawling on top of the other worm, then pretty soon there's no way to get out. So, this whole material world is temporary. It's based on sense gratification. Whether it's a worm or whether it's the Indra, sense gratification is not the basis of happiness, of transcendental happiness. It's a sense gratification. You're trying to enjoy through the senses. So if someone thinks that by my senses I'm going to be happy, that person is living in the dark world. We should understand that real happiness is in Krishna consciousness. We should be completely disgusted, hopeless. There's no happiness in this material world. The material world is a dark world. With that determination, then one doesn't unnecessarily try to increase the material comforts and opulence, whatever the bare minimum. The brahmanas, Chanakya Pandit was prime minister of the Emperor Chandragupta. He's even mentioned in the Bhagavatam, 12th canto. Prediction is there, 12th or I think 12th. And when he was offered the prime ministership of the biggest emperor, who practically that conquered the whole of India, he said that, I don't want any, he was offered a palace. He said, I don't want a palace. I won't accept any salary. I'm a Brahmin. I'll live in a grass hut. I'll advise you for the welfare of the whole kingdom, for the people's upliftment. But I don't want a dime from you. What I need, I eat some japaris, some vegetables, some fruit. I offer to my dear, my Shaligram Shila, and eat. Live in a grass hut. What do I need your palace for? I don't need anything. I wear one cloth. I'm Brahmin. I don't want all these servants and opulence. It's simply illusion. So that was that Chanakya was a Grihastha. He lived in his grass hut with his wife, his children. He went and he was the most powerful person, actually. He was the real brain behind the king. He was the one, the king was the arms. He was the brain. He was the one who was controlling the whole thing. By his intelligence, the whole kingdom was running. But this was Brahminical culture, that actually the Brahmins, they were detached. They were situated in the mode of goodness, and the Vaishnavas were transcendentally situated. They were detached from the things in the mode of goodness. They wanted everything to be used for Krishna. So this Brahminical culture was considered the most worshipable thing in the Vedic culture. But today in modern world, Brahminical culture no one considers. If you don't have a big house, then they consider you're a bum. If someone lives in a grass hut, they think all the people in there live in grass huts, they think they're poor people. When our Navhat, our preachers, we go on our tour, they're amazed how 20 devotees came. Even Lakshmi Moni was there with their Gurukul from Gainesville. They're surprised, in grass hut, they're feeding the devotees 20 preparation feasts. They have so many vegetables. They have rice, they have dal, they have the wheat. They cooked a huge feast for the devotees. One chance in a lifetime, when will they get 20 devotees from all over the world to come in their remote village? So they gave everything they had, you know. Cooked a wonderful feast for all initiated devotees. They couldn't believe, they're in this little grass hut, and then one after another, you know. It's like a Janmashtami feast or something. 8, 10, 12 vegetables, 2, 3 dals, 8, 10 sabji, sweets. They have opulence. But the opulence is in the mode of goodness. So this is not understood. Actually, I know one multimillionaire, he has a very big grass hut. Grass and mud. He preferred. He said, this is much better. This is a brick house. When the sun radiates on it, it becomes hot. the thick mud wall, this is a very good insulation. So inside is very cool in the hot weather. And in the summer, in the winter, it's very warm. And the thick grass roof is also very good insulation. So especially for that climate. Of course, in a cold climate, may be different. But for that climate, it's more comfortable. Whatever that housing, if a person thinks that this house is going to be my enjoyment, then that's a dark world. So the whole culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vairagya Vidya, Nijabhakti Yoga. Perform devotional service and be detached due to transcendental knowledge and understanding. But the devotees, the preachers, they know that people are living in the dark world. They may think that they may have the big house, a big car, big whatever, but actually they're suffering so many inconveniences and due to material existence. You cannot avoid it. So many anxieties. And their happiness is based on sense gratification. They're not having any transcendental bliss. So actually they're like the dark, like a well, like a worm in the well. So sometimes even devotees who are no better, they know all these things, but due to imitating the karmis, due to trying to keep up with the Joneses, whatever, they think that yes, this is the type of life we should have. They try to imitate the same thing. They're not very careful about daily attending temple programs and daily chanting Hare Krishna and doing everything in devotional service. They start to become pri-Vaishnavas, almost Vaishnavas. And they do some devotional service, but their happiness, what they actually think is what's needed to make them happy, is some material comforts. And that becomes their primary endeavor, is how to get money, how to get a comfortable thing, how to... That becomes the... Not for sustenance. It's like sometimes people say, do you live to eat or eat to live? Are you living to be comfortable or are you just working so that you can exist, so you can... Actually, the purpose in Krishna consciousness is you take whatever you need and do your devotional service. But sometimes due to the whole environment, we're in the ocean of worms here. Ocean, big well like an ocean. Everyone has got their dark will. They're all trying to be happy due to material sense gratification. And only Krishna consciousness that we can see is openly preaching that this material existence is not the goal of life. Although it's there in all the scriptures, but who is educating the people in that way? So then, when ones get lost in this well, when they get into that type of rat race, into that type of situation, they can't get out. This, even rat race, that concept is there here in the world. Once you're in it, you can't get out. Like the little rat that's running in the cage, he goes on the wheel, he tries to run and run to get out, but the wheel just keeps spinning around. I had a pet hamster when I was a little boy. You would see him running on that wheel. He tried, but it just keeps spinning. It doesn't get anywhere. But he runs faster and faster, but I think he's going to get out any minute. Doesn't realize the whole wheel is spinning. So people get locked up into that. There was one Grihastha couple and the wife had run off with some other man. And the husband was very upset and went to Srila Prabhupada and said, I want to take sannyas. So I understood now material life is, you know, frustration and this, that. So Prabhupada accepted. Actually, I know two cases like this. And immediately had the yagya made in Mayapur. And boom, next thing they know, they were standing with a danda, they were sannyasis. Of course, they hadn't really prepared themselves. They hadn't thoroughly detached themselves, although they should have. But unfortunately, after some time, the sannyasis didn't make it all the way because they didn't stay strictly in that. They again tried to have a comfortable situation, didn't just accept whatever Krishna gives. Sometimes you're in comfort, sometimes you're in hardship. Whatever Krishna provides. When is a sannyasi? Of course, in previous times, sannyasis live in a forest. Now they live in the temples. So sometimes in temple has facility, sometimes no facility. Sometimes you're in the woods, in the traveling sankirtan, taking shower by taking a bucket in a lota. Sometimes you got hot and cold running water. But anyway, the renunciants, they always take cool shower. So take whatever comes. Don't endeavor unnecessarily for comfort. But actually, Prabhupada, he accepted this was a reasonable reason. That someone's totally virakti. Virakti means, see, the sannyas is something total virakti. Virakti means if you're just disgusted, fed up, detached, vairagya. But that has to be properly applied in devotional service. Actually, one should realize that this material life is not the source of happiness. That if somehow a person got into that mentality that we can be happy due to material life, and then they realize, oh, this is not the source of happiness, then they can take that impetus, opportunity, Krishna is giving a mercy that they can fully again get absorbed. Whether as a sannyasi or whether as a properly situated devotee that knows that whatever I do, I shouldn't compromise. Actually, Prabhupada said that if someone is fully Krishna conscious, that there's no doubt that they'll go back to God. And if one can remain, say, in a renounced status for their whole life, there's no doubt. But if one takes a grihastha life, there's 50% chance they won't make it. Because of this thing, they get tied up, maya is such that the griha, pritaya, sutapta, they just start getting into this thing. Goal of life, have a bigger house, have a better car, have more money, have to have this, have to have that, never ends. They have a license to have all these things. Renunciant doesn't have the license, so if he even goes 1 inch, everyone will call foul. The grihastha has the license. They have to control themselves, how much to work for, what is the limit, what is the necessity. Of course, that's why Prabhupada was merciful that he said that no other guru in our sampradaya has allowed grihasthas to live in temple community like this. He said that all of them are mutt. It's all renounced people, they're all the grihasthas living outside. But living outside in India is one thing, with the grass hut you can live. But in the Western world, as soon as you live outside, you have to work so hard just to both people having jobs, working day and night, this, that, this. You see, once the devotees work out, if they're lucky, if they can come once a week for the Sunday feast. Right? Where you live in the community, there's an opportunity to come every day. People don't take that opportunity, there's great misfortune for them. What is the use of living in the temple community where you can have daily sadhana bhakti if one doesn't take it? So Prabhupada said he was giving a special mercy. Like in Mayapur, he said, this is the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. All the other were Gaudiya Mata, Chaitanya Mata. Mata means only the renounced people. Sannyasis, Brahmachari, and maybe some widows. Mata, no couples can live. He said, this is Mandir. Mandir, the temple. Temple you can also have, like so many temples are there in India, the priest, husband and wife are living. So like this, but this is, everyone should be here for the purpose of serving Radha Madhav, Lord Chaitanya, in Mayapur. That was his standard. So Prabhupada wanted some brahmanas, wanted some Vaishnavas who would be dedicated to cultivating their God consciousness. And that's the biggest problem. That especially the whole American system is meant everyone should work hard and enjoy more. So somehow Raghunath Das, he was already born in that. He was born with a golden spoon in his mouth. He had everything. But his parents, they thought this was the goal of life. They couldn't understand why his son would want to run away to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be chanting with Lord Chaitanya and all the associates in Jagannath Puri. When he had such a nice house with so many servants and everything he wanted, they couldn't understand why he would want to go and join Lord Chaitanya. You worship in your house, it's alright. And one day you can do a little kirtan at night or something. That was their understanding. They were devotees, but they were not, Lord Chaitanya called them as Vaishnava pride. Because although they were devotees, they were having tilak, they were having daily Bhagavatam class in the evening, they were walking around with their bead bags and things. But actually, they were not thinking this was their real happiness. They were very attached to their material thing. It's a total difference from, say, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who had all, he was a landlord, he had all that. He was completely detached internally from all these material things. He just put a show on to do his job, but he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, no attachment for these things. Where Mazumdar family, they were considered Vaishnava pride by Lord Chaitanya. They were almost Vaishnava. They were overtly Vaishnava, but they were not fixed up in pure devotional service. They were too attached to the other things. So they were holding on. That's why they thought, without this thing, we won't be happy. For other devotees, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he had, the thing came, so he used them in Krishna's service. Without this thing, it didn't make any, wouldn't have made any difference to him. And he showed that at many occasions. Not that he misused it, since Krishna gave it, why throw it away? He used it. He was also born the son of a great landlord, Brahmin family. But he wasn't attached to it. He used that for Krishna. He would spend his time going to Lord Chaitanya, going to Navadvip. He'd always be hearing the discourses on Krishna consciousness. That lifestyle didn't affect him. He was already in a transcendental platform. So, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was, of course, a Nitya Siddha devotee. He was, someone may not be Nitya Siddha. This lifestyle may also affect one. So one has to be very careful to strictly follow the regular sadhana and everything. And sometimes the devotee, they realize that unless it's really useful for devotional service, unless there's some way of using that, what is the use of staying just for having a comfortable life? There's no use. What is this comfort? So much suffering is they had to suffer so much to get comfort. They had to strive and work, endeavor to get so-called comfort. It's not the highest understanding, actually. I mean, if someone's really intelligent and Krishna gives mercy, they can say that I should simplify my whole existence and engage fully in devotional service. That's where the nectar is. That's where one feels peace. That's where one feels ecstasy. That's where one actually is having the real transcendental bliss. Is when we're fully absorbed in devotional service. Otherwise, material life is so delicate. It's like a lotus leaf on the water. That bead of water on the lotus, just A-A-C-A-9. 1 minute it seems everything is alright. But next minute, that big thing is like in a hurricane. You're just tossed around. You don't know what's going to happen from 1 second to the next. This is a material life. So how we can build a permanent foundation on such a quicksand base? But this is the illusion Maya gives. That yes, you can be happy. You just have to have this, that. You make this arrangement, you make that arrangement. It's illusion. It's Maya. There are no such arrangement you can make to be happy in this material world. And the real devotee, whatever ashram he may be in, he knows that there's zero possibility of being happy simply by material arrangement. The only happiness that one can actually hold on to permanently, which is the real happiness, is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes? Pardon? I'd like to continue the reading. It's pretty late, otherwise I'd love to do it. You like the class? We'll continue tomorrow. Any other question? Chanakya Pandit? Well, Prabhupada said it. Basically, he was more like a Brahmana. Brahmanas would also worship Shaligram. But he was not considered specifically like a pure Vaishnava as such. He was just a very ethical Brahmin. But as a Brahmin, he was also worshipping Vishnu.
But he knew how to be.
Yeah, he was a... Just like Dronacharya was Brahmin, but he was teaching military art. So Chanakya was Brahmin, But he was a teacher. Brahmins function as a teacher. But he was an expert on political science. In fact, he wrote many books on economy, on Arthashastra, how to run a kingdom economically, how the people can be prosperous, everything he wrote. Shri Prabhupada refers also, he's a very great moralist. He would give many moral instruction. Very ethical, very moral person. Chanakya's sayings are still quoted all over India, famous. And his book on governmental administration, called the Arthashastra, how to choose who should be a good minister for the king, how to set up a kingdom, what should be the administration, how many ministries you require, how many departments, what to do if someone, even I saw that, it's like a running commentary on Manu Samhita and Bhishma's teachings in Shanti Parva Mahabharata. It's like he kind of condenses and put that into one thing. Even gave like how a king should judge. If somebody steals money from someone else, then he should pay. If he gets caught, he should either suffer jail or pay that person 8 times what he stole from. It's one of the things I noticed. An 8-time fine. Or both, if he had the capacity. If he already spent it, then jail. If he still has it, then 8-time fine. If he doesn't want to give it, then both. Put him in jail, plus take from him 8 times and give it to the other person. What to do if it said that all different, the marital problem, if something happened, what was the king supposed to decide, what circumstance? It's all codes are given there. You don't have to take it to the Supreme Court and every time they change, well, this time according to this amendment we'll do this way, next time that way. According to the Shastra, this is that if this thing happens and it's like this, you should decide like that. The Supreme Court is already there, the decision from the scriptures and the great sages. So the king didn't have to tax their brain too much because already their codes were quite well defined. They simply had to apply it. They had to see which circumstance actually does this fit. But what should be the decision? That's already known. Everyone knows. So he gave so many things like that. He also said, if a person is not a god, if he's not a Vaishnava, you know, you cannot depend on him. If he's not believing in God, then it's hopeless. Yes? Well, Prabhupada explained that doesn't mean we just sit there and then Krishna will bring everything, but the point is you should do your duty for Krishna. You do what your duty is for Krishna, and then Krishna will do, he'll fulfill his obligation to you, whatever his promise is to you. Not obligation, but it's his promise. A devotee does their duty. It's like the Guru, Prabhupada is instructed, okay, you do this service, you do this, you preach Krishna consciousness, you distribute books, so you work and you give in this way. And people may say, well, how will I survive? How can I do? And Krishna is saying, I'll give you what you need. You have to work, not that we don't work, we have to work. We work according to what Prabhupada has said. Someone may try to calculate, well, by working that way, I'll never make a hit. That's where the question of depending on Krishna and Prabhupada comes in. Yes?
Perfect.
first point is that if one artificially leaves the house, then that's also against the regulative principles. That also is a kind of disturbance. The Lord Chaitanya's teaching is that vairagya vidya, one should use everything in the service of Krishna. So, in this one sense, so Raghunath Das is running away. Many times people, their actual intention may be, I want to be happy. They're having some material anxiety, so they want to renounce the family, too much headache, paying the bills, maintaining the family, this, that, kids cry at night. But just by artist, if that's the only impetus, a negative impetus, they're not actually developed a strong attachment for Krishna, then what happens is that once things cool down, then again they start forgetting all the sufferings of material life, and they think that it's going to be hunky-dory again, it's going to be great again when I go back. Then my whole material world starts to look better due to our forgetful nature. So that's considered a type of negative or dry renunciation. Lord Chaitanya didn't want people just to renounce artificially. You see. If someone really realized that on one hand the material life is a dark well, and on the other hand they have developed positive attraction for Krishna consciousness, then it's quite natural that they leave that dark well and just fully engage in devotional service. They don't look back. But if they're going to continue thinking back, I was happy at that moment, that second I really liked it, maybe I can be happy again. It didn't work out because this thing wasn't right, that thing wasn't right. Again, in the future I can make some arrangement, it'll be right, don't worry. So that means one mind is not fixed yet in real vairagya vidya. So therefore, it's not appropriate for that person to enter into the renounced order of life. This we have seen. I mean that some people, they may have been disgusted at that moment they took sannyas, but they were not prepared. Later they weren't able to maintain that viraktiva, that the renounced mood, because of not fully realizing all these factors, not having a positive attraction to Krishna consciousness that strong. So Lord Chaitanya, he would be ready. He knew that, not that there's a contradiction there. There's not a real contradiction. But if, unless you come to the point of actually realizing that this is a dark world, then you shouldn't leave it. If you're still thinking this is a, you know, four-story, you know, nice padded house, if you're not seeing it as a dark world, then don't leave it. And just seeing it as a dark world, if you're not actually attracted to Krishna consciousness, then leaving it, you'll fall back in anyway. So both of them. Of course, if one has a very strong renounced feeling, then he can get out. Or if one has, better than that is to have simultaneously a very strong attachment for the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want just to accept someone running, say, I want to join you. He said, you stay and practice in your house. You use everything for Krishna. Practically, he couldn't use everything for Krishna. Why? Because he's not his own property. It's his father's property, his uncle's property. They are not 100% Krishna conscious. They had so many other... They were more or less Krishna conscious. They were Vaishnava, but they weren't ready to use everything. They had so many other... They had some other, little bit other interests. They used something for Krishna. It wasn't all bad. It was 90% good, 80% good, some percent, I don't know what percent, some percent good. Raghunath Das, he used it, he did the big festival, he fed hundreds of thousands of people, he gave donations, he supported Vaishnavas. He used everything. By serving the Vaishnavas, he got the blessing, alright? You don't need to do this, because so much other things he had to do. He had to use his energy to get his uncle who was stealing tax money from the emperor. He had to get him saved. He had to do so many other things. Not that just he could do devotional service. To run that business of being a landlord, he had to do a lot of politics and different things. So he wanted to do fully devotional service. And he wasn't able to do it fully the way he would like to. And plus he wanted directly to take the association of Lord Chaitanya. So when he was very ripe, you can take it as a test. He proved he passed all the tests. Then Lord Chaitanya accepted him. Then he gave that commentary, actually it's a dark web. That's the perspective you can say of transcendentalism. Lord Chaitanya didn't tell people you have to leave the family. When they would leave and they had a full realization, Lord Chaitanya then made this commentary. Actually this, a realized Grihastha, he knows himself that as far as material situation, we're playing the role, but actually this is not the, this is happiness. Give me a break. I never heard a Krishna conscious Grihastha say that material life is happiness. They're doing it. And they're doing their service, they're playing the game, they're playing their role, but they always give the commentary that the only, you know, the devotional service is the real happiness. This, as far as even, it's not that only a sannyasi has this idea. It's only the materialistic people, they think that that's happiness. But any realized devotee, whether he be grihastha or whether he be brahmachari or sannyasi, they understand that this is not the source of ultimate happiness. It cannot be. There has to be something better than this. The sannyasi knows it theoretically, the grihastha knows it practically. Realized knowledge. There's a difference. If they are mature, if they're mature in their devotional service, so if someone's mature, they have all the facility, they may stay, that depends. The situation that Raghunath Das was in, everyone wasn't a pure devotee. They were a devotee, they were a Vaishnava, but Lord Chaitanya said that they are not, who know how much more they could have supported the Krishna conscious movement than what they were doing. They were supporting somewhat. They were favorable. So even after that, Raghunath Das, he kept connection with the family for some time. They sent him some servant. He didn't accept the servant, but he took the money. He was for 1 or 2 years, he was feeding Lord Chaitanya. Then he realized, why am I taking money from them? I'm supposed to be renounced, so let me just give. The whole history is there. He went through so many different stages. Wasn't that he cut off connection or didn't, you know, he kept communication with them. He did his devotional. He just wanted to fully, what an opportunity to be the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya or his personal assistant of his servant. Compared to that opportunity, what is it, what he was doing before managing a kingdom? See, but Lord Chaitanya wanted to make sure that he was mature, not just that artificially someone leaves everything. But even if someone's in the family, Jaranandan was in the family life. He's a Jaranandan Acharya was Grihastha. But he's managing temple. He was the temple president. He was worrying about, like, I need to get the head pujari back. The head pujari ran off. This, that. So Jaranandan was considered a great Vaishnava, associate of Lord Chaitanya. But Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar, they were not considered like Nitya Siddhas or great Acharyas or some great associates of Lord Chaitanya. But they were blessed people. They were good people. They were good, you know, they were Vaishnavas, they were pious. They were almost, Lord Chaitanya didn't want to, he said they're almost Vaishnavas. Okay, in one general sense they were Vaishnava. But they were not like pure, pure devotees. That still had some conditions. Those conditions were holding them back. So Lord Chaitanya would call a spade, depending on how much he would reveal what the nature of a thing was, depending on who he was talking to. So at this particular moment, of course, he was very open about it. But if a person is not ready, you can't artificially renounce also. That he explained in great depth in the teachings of Madhya Leela with Ramananda Rai. It creates a disturbance. Better they hear Krishna Katha continually than just try to renounce artificially. So this renunciation is not something we can just do ourselves. This is something that comes by the mercy of Krishna. That's the whole point of the last teaching. It's by Krishna's mercy that Raghunath Das could be detached. Even by our own endeavor we can't get out. If we do our devotional service, if we get so attached to Krishna that we actually become detached, that's the natural thing. Not that simply artificially, okay, now my wife, my family, my husband, they're all Maya. I remember one time, one Grihastha had a little girl and then said, so because this is Maya, I should be detached from my child. Prabhupada said, what is this? You should love your daughter. You should love your daughter. Because you love your daughter, you want to give your daughter the best thing, which is Krishna consciousness. Therefore you teach her Krishna consciousness. It's not some artificial thing. You have children, you love your children. This is a natural. But because you have, you're a devotee of Krishna, you know Krishna consciousness is the best thing, you want to give Krishna consciousness to your children. It's not some artificial mental thing. So, if the thing has to evolve in its natural, how does it evolve? Through sadhana bhakti or through kripa? These are the two ways. Not that artificially someone can get out of Maya. Even artificially try to get out, they'll fall back in. But it's something that Krishna, by His mercy, He shows us what is the illusion. And if we take the opportunity, we can then fully fix ourselves in His service. Somehow this door was open for Raghunath. He could see clearly what was the illusion. It's not easy. Normally it's very difficult. But somehow by Krishna's mercy, as Lord Chaitanya said, His mercy is the strongest. If He wants, even Prabhupada in His Vrindavane Bhajan, He said, actually I had so many things, but Krishna took everything away from me. And then I could see the naked form of Maya. I could see the naked form, and then I could realize what Maya really was. And so now I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing here in Vrindavan. And I'm so happy that I'm here. What is the meaning of all this? Then he goes on. If you read the Vrindavani Bhajan, very nicely Prabhupada explains. So it's not that one can get away even easily by their own endeavor. We endeavor to be Krishna Khan. That's our duty. And if Krishna removes us completely from all type of Maya, that's His special mercy. As far as your question on Garbhodhan Samskara, I don't have any, I cannot give an opinion. I don't know anywhere from the scripture, strictly, which gives a commentary on that point. If someone does Garbhodhan Samskara, then they do properly everything, then their children should not be Varna Sankara. If they don't do, obviously the risk is greater. What degree of risk, I can't comment. Because devotees, it depends on their consciousness at that moment. Garbhodhan Samskara is also preparation of the consciousness, what consciousness they were in. Also sometime by Krishna's mercy, even just because in a family of devotee, He also sends very good children. Even I saw one, did He say sometimes the children may be very good, even better than their parents. But who is there to comment or know? Only the super soul can know what consciousness they had at that moment and who is He sending. But for our security's sake, one should do the Garbhodhan Samskara. There's also some rituals. If you don't do it, you can do some jati karmas, you can do some yagyas on the 9th month and the 7th month to bless that child. There are different ceremonies one can do. Even a person does everything, it's not 100% guaranteed that the child will be a devotee in any case. Some risk is there, but the point is you follow the instruction, then you can. So you're doing your duty, that's the duty. Everyone has to follow their own duty, their dharma. Then by following Krishna's mercy, we can hope for Krishna's mercy. We're doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. Ultimately, you see, shouldn't get in the... If you want to follow, there's a different method. The bhakti method is different than other methods. Bhakti method, we do everything in the bhakti method. If you want to do everything, the other methods are there. More mechanical method, depending on the rituals. A little bit this way, that way, then you... So the devotee tries to do everything and depends on Krishna for the fruit. We have the right to do that work, but the fruit depends on Krishna. So if you do that work as best you can according to the instructions Krishna gave, then you can hope that Krishna will also bless you with the best fruit. Ultimately it's up to Him. That's the way the devotee takes attitude.